Happy Sabbath, Parkwood Church. What a privilege and an honor it is to be here with you. I am Pastor David Hudgens, familiar to some here. I have had the privilege, actually, of residing in the Modesto area for almost the last 20 years. And based on Elder Reeves' comments, I believe I preached here before because he said, welcome back. So I can't even remember, but I'm going to take that. And we're thankful for the invitation. I want to say to Elder John Talay, thank you so much for the invitation. And to Sarah, congratulations on the beautiful new daughter. Amen. I should give Elder John warning, though. I happen to have several daughters and granddaughter. When you start having the ladies come in the house, are you listening, John? You're no longer in control. I got to let you know now. So pray for a young man, and maybe you'll balance it out by God's grace moving forward. But what a joy it is to add to the church by births, amen, in the family of God. And what a blessing it is that we're able to worship together. Some are asking, well, Pastor, if you've been in Modesto for 20 years, why haven't you been here at Parkwood? Come on now. I hear you. I pastored for just a few years here in Modesto from about 2002 to 2006 over at the Modesto Westside Church. And then in 2006, I was called to pastor over in the Bay Area. So most of the time, I haven't been here. Then about 2018, wow, it's over 5 years. The last 5.5 years, I've served as the vice president for personnel and human resources for the Central California Conference. So I do bring you greetings from the administration for the Central California Conference, the newly appointed president, Dan Cerns. I thought somebody would say amen on that. Amen for the president. The executive secretary, which you know very well, Dr. Ron Rasmussen, who actually pastored here. Then the treasurer, Myra Thompson. Then the vice president for church ministries, Dr. Antonio Huerta. What a team. And then we have others, the vice president of education, Dr. Ken Bullington, and myself, that round out the officers and the administration for this conference. I do want to thank Rohan for that beautiful special music. Can we say amen for him again? What a treat that it was. I happen to be a lover of guitar. I'm waiting for time to finish learning by God's grace. If you didn't know it, the ministry is almost like having another wife. I'm looking over here because my wife is back there. I don't want her to get in trouble. But the ministry is very demanding. Nobody going to say amen on that either, huh? I'll say amen for myself. All of your time has to be put toward the cause of Christ, because there's no more important calling than the ministry. I know in this world we're living in, a world where 80% of the world now is non-God-based, but the reality of it is the highest calling on this earth is men and women serving in the pastoral role. They have the responsibility to take the living gospel of Jesus Christ and let those who don't know that there is a better way. And pretty soon Christ himself is coming, and it looks like he's coming for a rescue mission, because we're going to need to be rescued from this earth. Can somebody say amen to that? So I take my calling seriously. And I want to, when I lay down, if I have to lay down before God comes, I will have no regrets by God's grace, because I put it all for the cause of Christ. Why? Because he's been so good to me. So thus, I'm here to share the word this morning. I was sitting there comfortable, and I realized that I'm the speaker for the day, so I figured I have to speak up pretty soon. On that subject, I read about a young man who was traveling abroad internationally, and his mother's birthday came up. And he said, man, I need to get something for my mother. So he, like a good young man, he found a pet store. I heard our children's lesson. And in the pet store, there was a bird. Not just any bird, but a wonderful bird. This bird spoke 7 different languages. He said, man, my mother would love that bird. So he bought that bird, had it shipped overnight back to the United States, gave it a couple of days for his mother to enjoy that bird. Then he called his mother up and said, Mama, Did you get your present, Mama? Mama, how you like that bird? How you like that bird, Mama? And his mother replied, oh, son, that bird was delicious. That's what she said. He said, but Mama, you weren't supposed to eat that bird. That bird spoke 7 different languages. His mama replied, well, he should have spoke up when he saw that water boiling by God's grace. So I know it's my time. I know it's my time to give God's word. And I want to speak up as we move toward what has to be one of the most significant celebratory times for the United States and really for the entire world, Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. And I want to approach it from a life-giving way. And my prayer is that when you leave this place, some of us will leave differently because of the perspective that the Holy Spirit, I believe, will leave with us today. The gentleman went to our scripture, which is Luke 17, verses 11 through 19. And then as he entered, again, we're going to read and then we're going to have prayer and get going. Then as he being Jesus, entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. Verse 11, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go, show yourselves to the priest, Jesus speaking. And so it was that as they went, listen to the text, they were cleansed, the Bible says. And when one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he returned, the Bible says, and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, Jesus' feet, and giving him thanks. And he, the Bible says, was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, verse 17, where there are not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner, the Bible says. Then verse 18, and Jesus said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you well. I want to speak for just a few moments on the subject, the attitude of gratitude. The attitude of gratitude. And some may notice that my scripture passage was several texts. Don't get excited. I'm not going to preach long. I am an advocate of the preacher's beatitude. You know which one that is, don't you? Had you heard of that one? That's the one that goes, blessed is he that preacheth a short sermon, for he shall be asked to preach again. Come on now, amen. I believe in that. So I'm going to say my word, and then I'm going to let the Holy Spirit do the rest as he pierces your heart. Let's pray together. Father, we need you now. We haven't come to just hear philosophizing, but we need to hear from the throne of grace and mercy. So would you manifest yourself through this human vessel and speak divine words to those who are gathered? And Father, if you can use anything, you can use me. Touch my hands, Lord, and my feet. Touch my heart, Lord. Speak through me. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise and the glory that all of God's children say, amen, amen, amen. The attitude of gratitude. I'm going to lay a basis for a perspective on Thanksgiving that somehow we as human beings sometime fail to recognize. And I believe God is going to bless us as we move forward. Let me begin this way as I lay my foundation. In her book, The Hiding Place, Corrie Ten Boom tells about an incident that taught her the principle of giving thanks in all things. It was during World War II. Corrie and her sister Betsy had been harboring Jewish people in their home. So they were arrested and imprisoned at Ravensbrück Camp. Listen to this. The barracks were extremely crowded and infested of all things with fleas. Infested with fleas. One morning, as they read their tattered Bible from 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18, they were reminded to rejoice in all things. In fact, the text clearly states in one of the more modern translations to give thanks in every situation because this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. That's what they read that morning. Betsy said to her sister Corrie, we've got to give thanks for these barracks, and even for these fleas. Corey replied, you must be kidding. Ain't no way in the world I'm giving thanks for fleas. I don't thank God for no fleas. But Bessie was persuasive, and they did end up giving thanks for the barracks and even for fleas. During the musters followed, they found that their barracks, listen to this, true account, they found that their barracks were left relatively unsupervised. And they could do Bible study, talk openly, and even pray in the barracks. It was their only place of refuge. Several months later, they learned, listen to this, they learned that the reason the guards never entered their barracks was because of the extreme infestation of fleas. I've come by Parkwood just to ask you this morning, have you thanked God for your fleas? The difficult situations that, hear me now, that God has allowed to come by your way, have you thanked him for it? Have you thanked him for the times that maybe in the last 2 years you lost your job due to COVID and you can't find another one and your family is struggling? Have you thanked God for your troubled times? Maybe someone is listening to me and you've got a diagnosis and you can't understand how it's happening to you. You've been an Adventist all your life. You've ate healthy. You're a vegan. But somehow the doctor looked you in the eyes and the word, the C word, came out of his mouth and you can't understand it. And I've come by just to ask you this morning, have you thanked God for the trials, the fleas, the difficult times? You see, thanksgiving, the attitude of gratitude, is something that we need to focus on. And the first lesson I would leave you with this morning regarding developing an attitude of gratitude is this one. When we count our blessings, we should include the weaknesses, the hardships, the burdens, and the trials we face. If we do, listen to me this morning, my friend. If we do, we might find that God has used our difficulties more than the good things to help us grow spiritually. Why is that? Because it is in those difficult places that we discover the sufficiency of God's grace. In our trials, listen to me, human beings of their own cognizance don't naturally just praise God, but God has to allow trials to come upon us. And in these trials, we find ourselves turning our faces to God. And when we haven't prayed, we're praying now. Oh, I'm the only one going to say, I'll say amen for myself because I've been there. Come on now. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9 says, as we depend on him, God, we find that his strength is made perfect in our weakness. Take a moment and think about the way God has led you on this Sabbath. I'm sure human beings have this experience. If you're a human being, either you're coming out of trouble, are you in trouble, or are you about to go into some trouble? That's human kindness. This world we live in, there's always some trial. I had my car in the shop 2 weeks ago, and I thought it was just going to be a nice little repair, Dr. Reeves. And the mechanic says, well, I see something. I said, oh, no, Lord, I don't need this. No more trials. My car, I've been in the shop for 2 weeks, and I'm preparing for this sermon, and the Holy Spirit says, David, thank God for your car bill. I said, come on now. I said, Lord, what are you trying to show me? There's an attitude of gratitude that develops when we begin to recognize that the providence of God, over and beyond all things, has us in mind. God is at work. He doesn't waste times. He doesn't waste seconds. He doesn't waste efforts. Everything in your life, the Bible says, the good steps of a man are ordered by the Lord. Though he fall, the hand of the Lord uphold him. Everything in your life, God has laid out. And that's difficult for us to accept. Pastor, are you trying to tell me even the difficult times? Yes, even the difficult times are ordained by heaven. Listen to me now. Listen to me. God has a purpose, he says, and he's going to complete the work if we let him. God's goofs, in reality, are God's gifts. Somebody said, we thought it was trouble, but it's really training how to be thankful to God. Here is the second lesson. First, we recognize that we need to thank God for our trials. We need to recognize that God is working through our trials. Then secondly, we need to learn how to thank God for our trials. And that didn't happen overnight. That's a change of attitude. To thank God for a rough time. The most difficult things that you went through. About 13 or 14 years ago, I've been faithful by God's grace, doing the right thing. And I got an envelope in the mail that makes any human being shudder. It was from a government agency that has three letters called the IRS. You didn't hear what I said. I said, Lord, have mercy. What did they bother me for? An audit. I hadn't been audited in my life. I said, Lord, please. I don't know about you. I have real conversations with God. I don't know about you. I do the lay me down to sleep. But then when it gets real, I say, God, what's happening here? Almost an 8-month audit of me. Never been through that before. And I was complaining. And God says, I'm trying to get you ready for a time as such as there's never been on the face of the earth. In Daniel 12, when he says, I'm going to be withdrawing my Holy Spirit from the earth, and the troublous times that we're beginning to experience on this earth have been proclaimed through prophecy, and we are people of prophecy. And the Holy Spirit says, so what are you complaining about, David? Just put your faith in me and let me work. I said, okay, Lord, okay. You sitting there, you guys, like you high and holy, and you don't have no problems like this. I'm just being honest this morning. God is working salvation out through each of us, through our trials. And Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in every circumstance, we got to learn how to praise God. And here's the third and final lesson as I move. Some of you haven't said amen. You better get with me. I'm not going to be up here too much longer by God's grace. I know the schedule. The third lesson of developing an attitude of gratitude is to understand that thankfulness produces joy. Sure as day follows night. Thankfulness produces joy. Some think that blessings often follow gratitude rather than the reverse order, but it's not true. We as human beings can be blessed maturely and still forget about God. Still forget about God. And hear me now, this attitude of gratitude, this is the life-changing essence I want to share with you this morning, can literally turn your perspective on life totally around. What are you talking about, Pastor? You see, there are numerous studies, you can Google them when you get the opportunity, on this whole thing of joy and what it means in life. There are studies from UC Davis, University of Miami, and Harvard. And one of them actually states that the root of joy is gratefulness. And the scientists, these are neuroscientists, say, for it is not joy that makes us grateful. And hear me now, they're not discounting the Holy Spirit, where Paul says that the gift of the Spirit is love and joy. No, they're talking about the fact that there's a physiological impact of a thankful person that makes a difference in their life. For one, they state that gratitude helps your brain process other positive emotions, including joy. Listen to this. Routinely practicing gratitude helps us experience increased positive emotions, including excitement, joy, and pride. Gratitude, listen to this. These are scientists telling us about the blessing of Thanksgiving. Gratitude increases dopamine and serotonin levels in the brain, which are neurotransmitters that give us feelings of contentment. Stay with me, church. I'm going somewhere this morning. If we are grateful more often, the happiness-producing neural pathways strengthen, the scientists tell in our brains, just as exercising strengthens the body. Then secondly, they say gratitude promotes optimism, which leads to greater well-being. And what we're trying to tell you this morning is that if you learn to thank God for your trials, you'll find yourself in a perpetual 360-degree attitude of always thanking God. So then your brain begins to become enveloped with these dopamine and happy neurons, and you have well contentment, and you're better off. And hear me, here's the best thing. Nothing has really changed in your life but your perspective. This is the kind of gratitude, hear me now, that changes everything, even though your situation remains the same. I'm talking about having peace in the midst of a storm. Oh, you're not listening to me this morning. I'm talking about having problems, and you got joy, and you can't figure out. I should be sad, but you have been thankful. You recognize that were it not for the grace of God, you wouldn't even be here. This is the kind of attitude of gratitude that impacts our lives. We have contentment because the reality comes home that being in the presence of God, the psalmist says, is fullness of joy. There's nothing external. Happiness is based on situations, but joy is based on an inside relationship. And when you got Christ, you got everything. You got everything. You got everything. You got everything. The wise man Solomon says in Proverbs 17, verse 22, he says, a merry heart doeth good like medicine. Some of us need to just practice being thankful. Wake up in the morning, take your journal out, think about one thing that you can be thankful for. One thing. Some of us are so complainers. Just complainers. One man, his wife, fantastic woman, doing everything for the man. She said, honey, do you want breakfast? He said, yeah, I want breakfast. She said, what do you want? He says, I want an egg souffle. I want grits. I want waffles. And I want you to take one egg, and I want you to fry it hard and not scramble it. She said, honey, that's nothing. Then she went in the kitchen. That woman worked in that kitchen for almost an hour and a half. Came to his bedroom, he's still in bed, had trays and served him everything, even beyond what he wanted. And just like some of us, when he tasted the egg, he says, I knew you wouldn't do it right. I told you to fry the egg and not scramble it. Come on now. An attitude that cannot be satisfied. The reality is, with human beings, if we're not careful, we'll get used to God's blessing. Someone said, if the stars only came out once a night, we all would stay up all night to wonder at them. But since they come out every night, we've gotten used to the blessings. And now we're ready to go to our text as we close out our message. You see, in verse 17, Jesus says, where are the nine? 10, listen to me, were miraculously healed of leprosy. Jesus, according to the Old Testament directives of the ceremonial law, he told them to go to the priest who had the responsibility of announcing a person clean when they had had leprosy. He says, go show thyself to the priest. And as they went, the Bible record is, they were cleansed of their leprosy. But only one returned. Hear me now. How in the world can you be healed of a despicable disease and not have gratitude? It is because we can get used to God's blessings. But hear me now. This is where I want to get to in this message this morning. But the Samaritan, I don't even have time to tell you that it wasn't a Seventh-day Adventist. It was a member of another denomination. So when Jesus says, where are the other nine? He was talking about, where are my own children from Israel? I don't have time to get into that. But hear me now. The Samaritan comes back. He's on his way to the priest, but he realizes a miracle has happened in his life. And he stops. And on his way back, the Bible is plain to tell us, he wasn't quiet saying, thank you, you know, with a loud voice, thank you, Lord, for what you've done for me. And he falls down at Jesus' feet and thanks him. Something, hear me now, this is where I want to get to. Something had happened inwardly before the Samaritan was physically healed by Jesus. See, spiritual healing had already taken place because the Samaritan had been practicing the attitude of gratitude. He had accepted his lot in life without complaining or distrust of God. And this is the key that develops invincibility in the Christian. The Bible says godliness with contentment is great gain. Paul says, I've been rich and I've been poor. But how can you be content, Paul? He says, because I have Jesus Christ in my life. Hear me now. It's not about just surrendering to God sometimes or when the circumstances are right, but it's about an entire surrender to Jesus Christ all the time. Trusting and thanking God, even in difficult circumstances, the attitude of gratitude. We have no problems acknowledging or trusting God when things are good. But like Job, hear me this morning, church. Like Job, the leper did the unthinkable. He believed God knew what was best for him, even in the worst circumstances. You see, F.B. Meyer tells us that God seeks to mold us by circumstances. He seeks to mold us by circumstances. And you must believe that God has put you down just where you are. This is F.B. Meyer. Because your present position is the very best place in the universe to make you what God wants you to become. He could have made you a king or a bishop, a millionaire or a statesman. But he passed all these by, and this Sabbath morning, November 20th, 2021, he has put you where you are. Because that is the best place for him to make you what you need to be. You may be a cook, a housemaid, an executive, but God had the whole universe to choose from, and he wanted to do his best for you, and he put you just where you are because he knew that where you are is you're surrounded by the best things to make you what he needs you to be. The attitude of gratitude. This is a challenging message. You mean to tell me that the trials I go through, God has allowed it? Yes. 1 Corinthians 10:13, there's no temptation that has taken you, but such is common to man. But God, with the temptation, has made a way of escape. Everything that comes by your way, he measures it. He says, this is going to be good for David. And he blows it on me. The attitude of gratitude thanks God for all circumstances. The Samaritan leper, listen to this, had learned whatever his circumstances, he was grateful to God. He deserved nothing more and was entitled to nothing more. This is a heavenly quality. Hear me now. Blessings often follow gratitude. Thankfulness produces joy. Just thanking God for who he is. Thank you for waking me this morning. We take it for granted. If you can imagine this, once a Christian leper in India was heard to pray, I thank God that he laid leprosy on me. Because of the lepers, I've been able to lead to Jesus Christ. He saw leprosy as part of God's saving plan. That the souls of the lepers might be washed in the white tide of the Savior's blood, God permitted him to become a leper. The Christian's perspective is that nothing can happen to me that God doesn't permit. Like Joseph, the enemy meant it for bad, but God meant it for good. Huh. And let me close with this. Scientists have studied the little brown bird. Because it's a mystery with the brown bird. They can't understand how in the world, when the little brown bird goes to a tree and sits there and goes to sleep, no matter how turbulent the storm is, the little brown bird is never blown out of the tree. They didn't know until the scientists looked at it closer. They discovered that when the little brown bird goes to sleep on a tree limb, and he begins to bend the tendons in his little legs to a certain angle, almost akin to where you go down on prayer. When it got to a certain level, the tendons locked the little brown bird's feet onto the branch, and it stayed locked there until the little brown bird came up out of the position so he could go to sleep all night and nothing gonna blow him out of the tree. I'm trying to tell you this morning that God allows trials and tribulations so his people get in the position of prayer. And when we recognize that the God we serve is for us and not against us, everything he does is timed out for our good, that we can be what he called us to be, we begin to praise him even in the rough times, the attitude of gratitude. And we're blessed and we're still in the same circumstances. Why? Because we have a greater living of God inside of us. How many believe God's word today? How many believe God's word? How many are going to practice the attitude of gratitude? I know I'm going to do more thankfulness to God. And less complaining. You will see not your circumstance change, but God will change you in your circumstance. And that's a blessing we need. We are Seventh-day Adventist Christians, unashamed, unapologetic. We are people of prophecy. We recognize that this earth is not going to get any better. And if it's not going to get any better, that means that I'm in the world, so I'm going to have trouble and tribulation too. I've got to learn how to trust God even when things don't look right. Because they that walk by faith is what the Bible says, not by sight, have a trust in God. Let's pray as we close. Father, we thank you this morning that you haven't left us just to be battered around and tattered in this world. But you've given us a more sure word of prophecy that we do well to take heed. That as do your servant, Apostle Paul, you declare to us that in every situation to give thanks to God. As we heard you speak to us this morning, Father, help us by the grace of Christ to extend ourselves and to learn the attitude of gratitude. That you're with us even when it doesn't seem like you're not. And then when all is said and done, one day we're going to look up and we're going to see a little small black cloud the size of a man's fist coming in the east. And as it gets closer to and closer to the earth, we're going to see the starry host, multitudes and multitude of angels all around. And we're going to see him then, Jesus, our Lord and Savior, face to face. And oh Lord, we long for that day when Jesus will tell his angels, go get my sons and daughters. And the angels will come down. And the Bible says we'll see the dead in Christ pop up like popcorn, Lord. We'll be gathered, the Bible says. No more trouble then. No more headaches. No more sickness. We'll be with you forever, Lord. But until then, give us the faith and courage to be soldiers of the cross. That men and women will be wondering, how in the world can you be joyous in the midst of a mess? We can introduce them to you, Jesus Christ, the lover of men's souls. Parkwood Church, may the Lord bless thee and keep thee. May the Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. May the Lord lift his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Let all of God's children say amen, amen, amen. God bless you, and thank you for having me.